besides?
The book and a bit of radio, but only on tape, I take it.
What? A bit of radio? A bit of book? My God, do you realize the word of Bob is being spread about the world by spray paint cans? Probably the most effective method of communication ever.
Puny effort, puny.
Even more powerful, word of mouth, and by sexual harassment.
Yes, but the electric environment supersedes and subsumes any hardware, software, gadget. Therefore, to be aware of this fact...
For the pinks, it certainly does.
No. The pinks are unconscious of it. The subgenius I am trying to make conscious, and that's why I had to come to Toronto in 1982 after Dr. Beter's situation in the Battle of the Harvest Moon and then the first strike in September 82. As a result of winning that, and we now have the Christian faction of Russians under Gorbachev leading and taking over the planet, I had to move to Toronto, the heart of the Bolshevik control in the North America area, and no longer operate under Dallas, which was, as you know, controlled by the Rockefellers, who are now obsolete.
And France, I'm afraid, I can tell by this man's outdated notions that this is yet another false Bob. For does it not say in Prescriptures 8:14, there shall come false slack masters and non-prophets, and these shall be in the nostrils of the true Bob as the rotting of pig carcasses. Yet there shall be believers in them, for with every minute one is born. So...
Well, you showed him.
Yeah, that's it.
The infamous showdown between Ivan Stang and J.R. Bob Donohue on CKLN.
So appropriate for the Underground Summit, Mike. I bet you that's the segment they pick and play if they tape this, right? This has got taped tonight?
Yeah.
So it's appropriate. I didn't know the Underground Summit was the host tonight, and I brought that in as part of the third-year anniversary.
Two years ago.
Yeah, that had occurred April 13th. In 1988, the week before our last show on Hitler's birthday in the afternoon, 4:30 to 6. We have any new callers? That was
there were some callers, but I think they were enraptured with what was going on. So
they'll be calling them.
Yeah, 595-1478. The Church of the Subgenius Radio Hour.
Reverend Stang, what's it like to hear that?
Wow, it's classic stuff. It certainly answered a lot of questions. People had wanted to associate the book and Stang with what was happening now. Some of your listeners would...
It clears it up.
Yes, it does.
That was very precise, pithy, and compact, and got the message across, and even mentioned Gorby, which is the whole faction going on tonight, right, here in Canada.
We do have a call. Let's go to it. Hi. Hello, CKLM. You're on the air. Hello.
Maybe the new listeners, new callers don't know, and they had to turn the radio up.
Yeah.
Maybe Kent could tell them.
Hello.
Oh, this could be one of the factions, Gorby's faction.
Just listening.
Yeah.
Let's try the other line then.
All right.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'd like to categorically deny that there's any significance between the simultaneous visits to Toronto of Madonna and Gorbachev.
Can you prove that?
Why would you want to deny that?
I mean, I just want to categorically deny that there is any significance here. And in fact, the rumors that both President Gorbachev and Madonna are, in fact, members of the Illuminati is completely false.
Well, that's true. Do you know that entertainment's a military operation and that Canada was defeated on May 22nd? So Gorby and Madonna, equally military operations, equally entertaining.
Well, it's funny because if you trace back Madonna's lineage through Cincinnati and back through Italy and her Italian ancestors, funnily enough, some of them seem to have belonged to a certain family in the south of France that it goes directly back to the Merovingian kings of the 7th century A.D.
Yeah, the Holy Blood, Holy Grail, yeah.
Well, I don't know what to make of it.
In other words, someone has suggested to you a couple of facts that point that she may be an agent of the old pink Illuminati.
Well, it's hard to tell, but like a virgin, I mean... You know, you take it from there, and you get a little worried, if you know what I mean.
But you're not...
the red stain on Gorby's head, I mean...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not quite the Habsburg lip, but it's...
What is your background, caller, of? Have you been to university?
Well, I'm, in fact, an ascended bastard.
Master, right? We got CRTC listening. James
no.
at the master.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm,
we know what you
well,
say.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
no.
yeah, yeah. So did you get your high school diploma?
Well, yes, I did.
Do you make over $30,000 a year?
$30,000 what?
Good question. Dollars. Canadian dollars.
Not in Canada.
You don't work in Canada?
Well.
Are you educated?
What's your point, Bob? I'm just trying
another tack. Like, it's a bureaucratic... I get a feeling this guy, he's quite knowledgeable. He's auditioning to be a member of the church, maybe even come on the show occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just checking his background in a new, unique way.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, are you married?
Not currently.
See the hesitation? Have you ever been a communist?
No.
Do you want this job?
Well, which job would that be? I've just tuned into your show, and I find the allegations rather surprising.
Well, that's why we need new blood. We need new naivety. You know, at the collapse of the Middle Ages going in just to the Industrial Revolution, the old oligarchs used 13- and 14-year-olds, right?
Well, that's what Mozart said, but, you know.
Who said that? Who? Mozart?
Mozart, yes. Well, the piano was a plot.
Yeah, yeah. Left hemisphere digital apparatus, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, we need naivety in our new callers, our new input. You don't know anything about what's happening here. You claim to have never heard anything about this moment as is happening now to you before.
I'm completely void of thought.
Great. Well, you see, you're perfectly... We've been dealing with a lot of regular callers who perceptualize themselves back into concept, and we've been getting complaints. You say you're completely devoid of thought. Are you also devoid of your sensory apparatus?
Well, I'm lying down at the moment.
Are you devoid of your sensory apparatus? This is the final question.
I can't feel my toes.
Can you feel your head?
Yes. Yes, I can feel my head.
Is there an interval between where your toes, that phantom spot of your toes and your head, do you feel that resonating interval?
Yes, I do believe I do feel that resonating interval.
What would you call that?
The vibrator.
Does it have an electric quality? Yes, an electric vibrator?
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes, it has an electric quality.
You're right. You're hired, buddy. Can you be down here in 2 weeks? Midnight Wednesday.
I could be down there in about 15 minutes.
Oh, come on down. Come on down. You're hired.
I don't think so.
See, they talk about unemployment. Another case. Offered a job. Turns it down. Yeah, go back to your welfare, buddy.
No. Well, that's okay. I just wish you could find out about this Madonna thing. I mean,
well, okay,
the allegations are being made, and I have no idea where they're coming from, but... They're there.
Okay, you say you don't know if they're real or not, yet your opening statement was, I guess, a fragmented probe, saying that you deny there is any connection with them to the Illuminati. Yet now you're saying you're wrestling with the possibility.
Well, as I'm sure you can know, a fragmented probe can be very painful.
Yes, okay, then you wish that to be, I see. Yeah, you wish what you opened with to be. I assure
not
you...
Not necessarily.
There is no more Illuminati.
Well...
That's what Rai meant when it returned to essence. We only have the cobwebs of Rai, and they're acted out in the media. They're acted out as images.
I once thought I met a member of the Illuminati, but I think he was one of the low-wattage kind.
The problem...
Like the refrigerator Illuminati.
Yeah, but don't you get the point? This is a fact, a perceptual fact, that there is no Illuminati in human terms anymore. There is just the control evoked by archetypal mythic effects of the media interplay. Now, that's complex to say that to you for the first time.
It made my teeth hurt.
That's Frank Zappa's dental hygiene dilemma, you know, in 200 Motels. You ever seen that?
No, I haven't, no.
Check out the May 19th issue of Billboard, the design of the 25th anniversary issue done by Cal Schenkel. And he explains that the reason the cover album art of Uncle Meat was dental materials was because he inhabited a dental office in 1967 when he moved to Los Angeles to work for Frank Zappa.
I see.
Okay, we do have another caller.
See, the fact that I wandered away like that makes Mike want to cut you off. Cut me off, too. Maybe, don't take it personally.
Thanks for calling. Okay, we do have another caller, Bob.
Thanks, you're fantastic.
Good call. Yeah, I just want to point out we have something new. We've been looking for new microphones and equipment in the station, and someone has donated a Hoover Turbo Duster, plus 30. And this is a nice benefit, a nice plus to have.
What do you do with them?
I'm not sure. Maybe just clean the records off. But anyway, I just wanted to point that out. So
okay, the dust blows forward and the dust blows back.
We do have another call. The calls are coming.
Come on in, man. New caller, new addition.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Right.
You can tell by the hesitation these are new callers, right?
Yeah, go ahead, Davey. You thought this was a serious show, right? It isn't. So get
well,
serious.
I heard about the, I just tuned in at the Hoover there.
At the what?
At the Hoover.
What was that? Oh, you just tuned in right now and called in? How'd you know the phone number? This guy's lying, baby. He's making my teeth hurt. How'd you know the number if you just tuned in? Go ahead, baby. You're on.
You've got
all of Toronto and Gorby's age listening now.
Yeah. What is this about Gorbachev?
Just what I said. Where have you been? You've been reading the Toronto Star? You've been subscribing to McLean's magazine? Now in a quandary when the times have changed? Answers are blowing in the electric wind?
No, McLean's is a bad magazine, isn't it?
Yeah, the Church of England. The Church of England. Okay, what do you want to know about Gorbachev? He's not what he appears, other than what he seems to be.
Well, I mean, he seems to me like something that just sort of came out of nothing.
You're right, man. Nothing that you heard about, right?
Well, I mean, out of the...
I love that response. This is more innocence. This is the night of the innocence. You're right. But nobody will admit that Gorby did come out of nowhere. I mean,
he did.
And I'm glad to have you admit that massive perceptual effect, which nobody up to this point, including George, would admit.
Well, out of his predecessors, I mean.
Yeah, why? What happened?
Andropov or
Brezhnev.
Chernyenko or whatever. Andropov.
Kaczynski, you know, head of Cheka, you know, the original secret police.
What was the other guy's name? Chernyenko.
Chernenko, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you want to know why he's here. You know,
happened? How did he materialize?
Well, didn't you hear my little dialogue with Reverend Stang?
I was listening to that.
Yeah, remember I mentioned that Gorbachev, I don't know if I said Gorbachev, but I mentioned the secret Skopsis, the native Christian sect that inherited the Bolshevik victory in the Battle of the Harvest Moon when they knocked out the Rockefeller moon base. You know? Yeah, I know.
That,
too much. Forget
no,
it.
No. That word Skopsis.
Yeah, you heard of it?
I heard of that.
You're the guy who knows nothing about what we're talking about, but he's heard of the word Skopsis. Mike has listened to me for 3 years. He can't even remember what the word Skopsis refers to. You're fantastic, baby. Come on down tonight. You're hired, too. Tell us what you know about them.
No, it's just that, something that I've read or I've heard about and...
You probably heard our show before and didn't know it was us.
No, when you said the word Skopsis, it sort of rang a bell, but...
I hate to get Jungian and easily Freudian, from Finnegan's Wake, but do you think it's coming from your collective unconscious, the homeopathic work of Bob here in Toronto, that you're picking this up in your sleep, and that's why you know it? And that's why you've shown up, because you've met your maker, your matcher?
I don't know. No, it was just something that I think I've read.
Okay, so let's get beyond that fact. Yeah, you absorbed it. What do you want to say about them?
Well, what are the Skopsis?
Skopsis, Skopti, Skopsis, maybe Tzis. The Skopsis are a Gnostic sect, much like where the Dukhobors came from in Russia, in the Soviet Union. I don't know, whatever they want to call it there now, right?
Sure.
Whatever they did call it. The Dukhobors, the old Raskolniki that Dostoevsky wrote about. You know Dostoevsky, the writer? He wrote about the Raskolniki. Now, that is the Gnostic sect. The Skopsis are a particular harsh religious Gnostic sect, call themselves spiritual communists, that started about 250 years ago in Russia. Their hidden bond was castration. The high priests castrated themselves.
Wow.
And it took that kind of dedication and loyalty and secrecy. I mean, you couldn't be a member of that secret network, that secret little local Illuminati, unless you lopped it off, right?
Sounds like the Masons or something.
Yeah,
except not as severe.
That's right. Now, this severity was necessary to hijack the world government, which was a combination, a complex clairvoyance set up by the Rockefellers and the Bolsheviks through most of the 20th century. The Skopskys helped the Bolsheviks kick out the Tsar regime, all right? They then hoped to improve Russia along their paradigm, but were hijacked by the world government, 1917 to 1919. They then stayed in harmony with the Bolsheviks and infiltrated for 60 years, lopped off the Bolshevik group that was working with Rockefeller around 1975, infiltrated the Bolshevik space, or let's say solar government apparatus. When the Bolsheviks destroyed the Rockefeller moon base, the Skopskys inherited the victory. And that's why, and that happened in 1977, and Dr. Beter, you can hear him here on CKLN, you can hear him on Kent Perry's show tonight, 2:30 or so. He's always on Kent Perry's show every 2 weeks. You'll hear the history of the last 10 years explained by Dr. Beter in his 80 tapes at the end of the 1970s. And he predicted that Russia, well, as a matter of fact, using his predictions, I was able to make an incredible interview in Los Angeles in October 1988, and I predicted the whole pattern of 1989, and I predicted the collapse of the Berlin Wall. This was all laid down by Dr. Beter and associates of mine, and the Skopskys were part of that hidden knowledge.
Who's Dr. Beter aligned with?
He was a free agent. Electric Autonomous used the tape cassette as art form, part of the cassette culture that Mike wakes up as his personal religion.
Mike?
Yeah, Mike, the other voice on the show here. Say hello, Mike.
Hi.
It's cassette culture guru Mike Dyer. He's known all over Queen Street and almost up to DuPont, not past St. Clair.
So he's not aligned with you?
No. Mike's just a willing accomplice in a conspiracy that he has created, manufactured, and you know what the next word is. Screwed up, you know. The thing is that Dr. Beter is, he's dead now.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, you can hear the Holy Office.
Hey, Russell.
You said you sounded like you were one of these post 1 o'clock coming out of the bars kind of caller. A little bit of slur there. May Russell, you said?
Mape.
Mape Russell? Mape. Oh, yeah, you're one of the, remember, Scott, those people used to think it was Mabe Russell?
Well, I did too.
Yeah, everybody did who wasn't in touch with Bob Marshall. It's Mabe Russell.
Well, it's the liaison.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, it's your Quebecois, right? Your Quebecois, right? It's a translation. But Mae Russell's birthday was yesterday. She died 2 years ago.
It was yesterday?
Yeah, when Gorby landed here, and that's part of the Skopskys symbolism. You know, the Gorbachev and his group, well, they love Mae Russell.
They do?
Yeah, they used to use her information as a joke on Ronald Reagan to scare him. They knew it was kind of obsolete, not up to Dr. Beter stuff, but he certainly scared the dickens out of Edwin Meese and those guys. That's why they had to kill me. You know, she was murdered 2 years ago.
Yeah, was she murdered?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Because I'm Bob. As a matter of fact, I was in on the, I won't say planning of it, but it was necessary what happened.
Yeah, but I mean...
You think I'm crazy? You think I'm lying? You're talking to a real murderer, an assassin. I made millions in World War II. I was the character of Milo's Milo Bender, whatever they call him in Catch-22, model on me. I was that little Aryan Nazi. Necessary, though, in the historical pattern laid out by Herbert W. Armstrong. Necessary to have this pattern laid out for me to be here, homeopathically regenerating your cell structure.
How do you know that the Russians are...
I like the way you ignore what I say. Great, keep going. How do I what?
No, I'm following
Yeah,
that.
Good, yeah, but you're making good. Useful.
How do you know that the Russians are interested in Mae Russell?
Well, see, because you're talking to someone who informs and guides the Russians' media ecology using the tetrad. We're giving this guy a real collage of holy office, aren't we? I mean, I'm giving you the church dogma here.
That's a new word for me, tetrad.
Is this what you wanted, Mike? I mean, the old regular callers are all falling asleep and say, man, we got to go through the basics again. Well, a tetrad is... let's put Mike on the spot. What the heck is a tetrad, Mike? Mike's going to tell you what a tetrad is.
You heard
call,
they make fun of Bob, which is a very, very dangerous thing to do.
That's Mike's effort to explain the tetrad. I don't know how he did that. Isn't that awesome engineering? I mean, he just sitting around the back with a bunch of tape.
unscripted. You aren't. He isn't. Are you there?
Yeah.
Tetrad is a four-level effects of media. You take any environment created by man, extension through technology, has four effects. The first effect is it enhances a particular sensory apparatus, internal, external, of man. All right? It then obsolesces a previous technological environment. Then simultaneously it retrieves a former technological environment and its characteristics in a new form with archetypal intensity that comes back in harmony or resonance with the new technological environment that was extended in step one. Step three is this retrieval factor, all right? For example, the medieval environment was retrieved in the 60s along with primitive awareness, occult awareness, due to the effect of television. All these three processes then flip into the new apparatus, technological extension, or image mood. At this point, mythic archetypal retrieval, repertorical replay of the unconscious archetypal structure. This pattern is a flip point. It flips into that pattern, which has the opposite characteristics of stage one, which is the original extension. That's the tetrad. That's outlined in the Holy Office of Marshall McLuhan in the book Laws of Media. Go over to the world's biggest bookstore and buy it. It's the Bible. It's what Gorbachev will be training his management specialists like they taught them Marx and Lenin decades ago. They're now going to be studying McLuhan's tetrad because Gorbachev's already using it in his negotiations with George Bush. How do I know this? It's up to you to find out.
I read one of his
I'm getting
books.
Tired, baby.
Yeah, okay, time for another call.
Okay.
No, let this guy say one thing. By the way, say your last
final
word.
Final comment.
Yeah, final comment.
My final comment?
I feel like Barbara Fung.
Yeah. He was worth it.
Okay, thanks for calling. Let's go to another call, Bob.
Thanks,
has a theme developed from tonight, or
just new naivety, man? It's just this comment. Let's understand the effects of this naivety now. We now have had the experience. Let's understand
it. It is quarter after one. Why don't we just open up the lines then? We've had a half dozen new calls tonight. I mean, I think I'm happy. I'm satisfied, and let's move on.
Okay, old callers back in line.
Hello.
Let's hear Dave. Bring on that attack video. That's the old silent guy always hangs up. Any others, Mike?
Nothing.
I just like to say this, Mike, about spin doctors. I think that phrase is part of the...
Spin doctors?
You know that phrase, don't you, Mike? You know, Ed Buster's spin doctors. Let's bust the spin doctors. Spin doctors has entered the language, North American English language, I guess, is a slang term referring to new effects, to two new media effects. Now, what if that is an index, slang is an index of the change going on due to the walls bashed between and interpenetrated by the archetypal mythic structures, then what is spin doctoring talking about? I think it refers to what I explained several shows ago, the hot spiral and the cool spiral. You think of a spin as a spiral. The spiral is a rearview mirror image. We know that the image of the tetrad, a kind of a pretzel DNA helix spiraled back on itself, is the appropriate image, not a simple spiral. So the spin doctors is a figure for the ground of eternal Battle of Jericho wall spinning. Notion. It's too hard to explain. I'm just working on it, okay, Mike? Okay, we got a call?
No.
No, I do have to work on it. All right. Oh, I do have a backlog. 2 weeks ago, Bob became the fifth element. We know we had Dave and we had Ray Green here. We're miming me in the old dialect between percept and concept and left me in a new element of mud, a fifth. What is it? Schizophrenia, quadrophenia? Quintophrenia. Thank you, Ray. Bob was stuck in quintophrenia. Well, it was after the show that I realized why this was happening. It was the fact that Tim Howe was in here videotaping me. Because we, for the first time, unbeknownst to me, brought in a video environment, it mutated the show. So the radio content was taken over by Bob Clones, and Bob was sitting there as the fifth element of mud due to the video environment. That is the explanation for any archivist who's been wondering and puzzling about that part of the show 2 weeks ago. There's the explanation. Video was the ground here at CKLN. There's that buzz. Oh, gee. Okay, Scott, come on in, man, and participate. We have a caller in person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, let's let. I don't know if he wants to be identified. We'll call him Scott. Scott's the one. Okay, Mike, you know who this is? He's noticed the afterglow. I don't know if he heard us talk about it 2 weeks ago. He's the one who was making love when Bob called.
Remember that, right? He couldn't forget. He couldn't answer it. Then he called the next. I called the next night, and he told me he knew it was me because he heard the tape 2 weeks ago. Scott, input any way you want. Be whoever you want. No, come on. You got to come in real close. They can't hear you.
You should like get about right about there.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you're going to explain the new loony tonight.
The coin?
Yeah.
The new loony.
Yeah.
No.
Have you seen the crown? Have you seen the crown? It's weighing mighty heavy on her gray head.
I think that's enough explanation, isn't it? I mean, you know, come on, keep moving in here, closer, yeah. There's no need to explain the loony, right? It's the lunar government, the queen. See, that's the common... Yeah, see, this is solar government here. The lunar government is the Illuminati, the Rais of Cobweb, set up by the Habsburgs and the Holy Blood Holy Grail. This Illuminati caller would be interested in this. The lunar government is a content image, rear-view mirror anesthetic for entities known as Canada or any other apparatus that wakes it up. The lunar government is what the pinks are involved in pretending as a genuine fake is a structure they're involved in right now. So, yeah, the loony is emblematic of the lunar government, and thanks for bringing that up, because I've never explained the phrase lunar government in reference to the solar government and the preceding world government. Yeah, go on. Let's, more stuff. Why don't you tell us about eco-fascism, Scott? Come on.
Eco-fascism. It's just beginning to frighten the hell out of me. Sorry, seriously.
Yeah, no, this is someone from direct experience with the ecology movement, and big mistake. He got involved in the environmentalist movement through most of the 80s, and he's now here to repent. Let's hear what you learned now about the, since you contacted me, what are you learning about the environmental movement that makes you upset?
Well, why don't we start with the phrase sustainable development?
Oh, yeah, I kicked that one out. Zero growth again, right?
Or why don't we trip around to entrenched environmentalism, people that aren't working to put themselves out of jobs.
That's right, they're not media ecologists, they're not going on strike. All right, yeah?
I don't know, it's so frightening, I don't know what I can say here and now.
You can say anything as long as you don't swear. You know, we are that pink. Here, we do have that element of pinkness.
Well, I just want to do my best to warn people now that ecofascism is coming down the line.
And you, what would you now support, LaRouche?
No, I haven't had enough slack in the last week to check LaRouche.
Well, listen, I can give you a copy of his new book, and it's called In Defense of Common Sense. In Defense of Common Sense, an awesome mathematical, physical, time-space, geometrical exploration. And it explains the evil behind Greenpeace and the environmental movement that all of us TV heebie-jeebies were seduced into due to the tactile effect. Not me, but I mean us, the pink and all of us, right? I mean, even some guy used to work on the Central American News Show, Eric. He called in one night and he was very upset about 6 months ago why Van der Zaam was waking up ecofascism, or he didn't have that phrase, but the ecological movement. See, the subgeniuses in the ecological movement know there's something amiss when the devil takes over ecofascism, right? But this was all anticipated by Lyndon LaRouche, and despite what any of your buddies tell you about Lyndon LaRouche, he's a wonderful person.
Well, here I
go. Oh, you know what? He's going to be interviewed. Kent Perry's going to play Bob Marshall's interview with him in 2 weeks for 4 shows, half-hour installments, 2-hour interview with Lyndon LaRouche from his jail cell a year ago. So if you listen to that interview and tape it, you can learn a lot. Speed up your... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, it's just about LaRouche. I mean, anyone that's universally vilified without anyone studying his material.
Yeah.
You gotta start wondering about it.
Yeah, he's, for our previous caller, he's as mysterious as Gorbachev. Gorbachev came out of nowhere, runs the world. LaRouche put in jail for no reason. And people don't know why, other than the credit card fraud. And we know the spin doctors. Ah, I'm remembering what I wanted to say about spin doctors. Yeah, spin doctors is the software environment that moves all the hardware environments. In other words, the words, the news, images make the environment. Now, the news images are advertising. And advertising. So spin doctors are imagery. Now I've lost it again. We were talking about LaRouche. Something about LaRouche. He comes out of nowhere. He's an image that has to be imprisoned.
I can handle on what happened. In
where does that lead us? And you fill me in. Follow me. Lead me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just Dr. Spinoff. And remember, Rim Spins is the essential code word in McLuhan's book, Take Today.
He's racist. He's rich.
He's Nazi. He's anti-Semitic. Oh, yeah, look, for example, here's some LaRouche information. Everybody's wondering why Mike Milken, is that his name? Michael Milken got busted. Got fined, the largest fine in history. He got fined $600 million for destroying the American economy through the 80s. And we know from Dr. Beter that the Bolsheviks hijacked the Rockefeller Empire in the late 70s when they were kicked out by the Skopskis out of Russia. So, therefore, the junk bond is the economic spin doctor. In other words, the concept of an economic recovery is an economic news, image, advertising, economic hardware recovery. It's a hot media spiral, a Baroque spiral. It's a spin, right? So doctors, it's media therapy, media ecology in a pink, cancer-causing level. Now, Michael Milken was the main front man, the main media image for that. Look at who his associates are, and this is for Gorbachev's aides who are listening, who would know who these people are. The people who set up Michael Milken were Carl Lindner, Saul Steinberg, Meshulam Rickless, Lawrence Tisch, Nelson Peltz, Victor Posner, Carl Icahn, Fred Carr, Thomas Spiegel. I'm just putting these names out. There's no time to go into it. The point is that these were the characters that pumped out the paper that fed the economic recovery, and the paper was based on nothing. So they quaked up the hot medium of money, spun it through the various media archetypes, creating the illusion of motion, then interpreted by the specialist verbal commentator called a spin doctor as a phenomenon to say, yes, now I know this isn't making much sense at this point, but we're working on new dogma here. I mean, this is taking weeks, but the spin doctor verbalizes what Michael Milken then did in spinning the media money environment. It was spun like a spiral. All right, so Scott, this is stuff that, you know, you have to get a handle on, right, before you come back and work at CKLN in the news department, right? Did you go to an audition?
No.
Yeah, this guy was thinking of auditioning for a news director, but he's going to study LaRouche instead. Okay, I hope somebody who hates LaRouche is listening and saying, I'm going to kill Bob. It's about time we killed me. This show's been going for 3 years. Don't you think it's long enough, Mike? Don't you think I've educated enough people?
Yeah, this was brought up last night at the staff meeting that somebody would kill probably me, thinking that I was Bob. But I'm ready for that.
Okay, you ready to kill me when I give you the orders? We have a call, Scott. Thanks for filling in. You're a great spin doctor.
Hi, CKLN.
Hello?
Hi.
Oh, is this Dublin?
Yeah, that's me, Bob.
Yeah, right, the last caller.
I just had an insight what you mean by spin doctor. It's an entity, not a person, but an entity.
Yeah, an image, a software, a unit.
Like, you know the idea of a computer virus, a tapeworm program?
Yeah.
It's a piece of software that moves down the line, gets in over your phone, then it gets into your hardware as a piece of software, and it moves around a piece of software among the software, eating the software, destroying it.
Awesome, Dublin. Awesome. I couldn't say anything better than that.
It consumes the software and defecates out useless bits behind it as it goes. Now,
Dublin, you've been doing your homework. That is so appropriate. We're going to have to stick what you said. Jim and the boys are going to have to stick that on the next tape. That is what I'm trying to talk about. Because Fragments with Bob is computer virus. Let's kill this virus named Bob immediately.
Well, Bob.
But, Dublin, you're going to have to call back. I think Mike's got someone else. Rest your case. You've said it. There's nothing more. You're participating. You made sense. You helped me make sense tonight. Thank you, Dublin.
Mike is a spin doctor to
Cut him off.
Canada.
Cut him off, Mike. We're going to the next. You got another caller, Mike?
Yeah. What do you think of the possibility that Mike is a la the Manchurian candidate, a plant who will be activated by a computer virus to kill you, Bob, jump right down your throat and delete you?
You're right. I mean, these guys, this is so fast. This is mathematical. These guys are equating with me immediately. You're right.
It's not mathematical. I practiced this 23 times.
Oh, we'll cut this guy off. Cut him off, Mike. He was at the wrong number. He hasn't been listening long enough. We got another caller?
No.
Okay, keep him on. Is he still there?
He's gone.
We cut him off. Okay.
He can call back.
Okay, call back.
Yeah,
Bob has changed. Bob's just been replaced. Oh, Ray. Ray came down. Ray has something to say.
Ray is not switching to Ray.
Oh, a red characteristic?
2 minutes left on the show.
Okay. Yeah, we usually try to finish by 1:30, Mike, so we can get it all on one tape.
We no longer green, we red.
Yeah, tonight we're violent.
The first red, the crown chakra.
You got to talk louder, Ray.
Red.
The crown chakra. The luna image, right?
The solar.
Okay, all right.
How many minutes we got, Mike?
First ray of will.
We got 2 minutes, Ray. Ooh, Ray, you got to make it fast. I think we have to cut you off, Ray. Wait, scripted, this is all concept.
Truthfulness rising from absolute fearlessness, power of ruling, capacity.
Ray Dogma.
Great question, large-minded man.
We have another caller, Ray. Keep talking. Let's take the call, Mike. We got to make it happen. Yes, caller, you're on. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, what do you think of this flood? Columbia to sabotage the logging operations there.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Yeah, that's what we think about it.
Well, that's why the portrait of the Queen was changed, so it would make for easier entry into the Douglas firs.
Yeah. Vova power.
Well, that's what I heard anyway.
Yeah, and you're right. You heard right. Rumor rules. Spin doctors are rumor mongers, right? Rumor mongers is fact. Fact makes the money go. Money keeps Bob wealthy. Bob keeps on CKLN as a homeopathic tiny operation.
Have you got a new Mike yet?
Yeah, he's got cancer. Mike may be disappearing within 3 weeks. Probably going out to Vancouver with his wife.
Has he disappeared up that vacuum?
Yep. He's in the resonant interval. Getting ready to put on Jim's song.
Glamours of the Red Rain.
I love this call, man. Everybody's fighting tonight.
Drive.
This is Summit. Go ahead, caller. Don't back off, caller. Put your input in there. Say your stuff, caller.
Takes the kingdom of heaven by violence.
I love it. Put that song on. Let's go up to Jim. You got that original song? This is a lovely theme. Good night, folks. We'll see you in two. Not that song, but okay. You play any other song on. I don't care. Rev it up. Sorry, Jim. I loved your album. I loved your third album, Bob.
Bobby, I love your album.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, 2 weeks, and then we're, I guess we'll call that our third anniversary show. I think it's about January 13th, Mike. Not yours, Mike. Yeah,
that's
you can
fine.
Put that anymore. No, keep that going. If you don't
this
like
okay?
the song, I don't know if it's any good. Maybe stop and put
that.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, let's hear that song. You know.
Not from you, though.
No, from the White Elf. The white one. The one that says, the white one, side A with the label. That goes on. Okay, cut that theme
try
song.
Again. So this is now the end of the show.
Yeah, that now the end of the show. Thanks, Ray. Fantastic sax solo there. Audio sax from Ray.
1:30.
Listen to Kent in two in an hour.
Yeah, see you, Ray, Scott.
Yeah, thanks. Lovely.
It's
yeah.
Not really Scott, though.
Okay, Gorby, you can go home now, and I'll see you around 5 or 6 tomorrow up at St. Clair and Bathurst.
Are you taking personal calls now?
Oh, yeah, all the time. I take them all week long.
You do? Yep. Okay.
Very right. Nice.
This is Jim's song.
Now I must admit that you got me thinking, you got me thinking. There were times I thought that I was sinking, I was sinking. But that always want to be in that position where I can see more clearly. Yeah, clearly.
away to Treasure Island. And my heart stood still when we landed on the silvery shore. We met that day on Treasure Island. And the smile you gave was the treasure I'd been craving for. Then came those moments of bliss in the shade of the sheltering palm. I still remember your kiss as you nestled within my arm. I look for gold on Treasure Island, and found that gold when you gave your golden love to me. That is mine.
Everybody's sick, and I'm right in there with them. That's, well, there's one thing that's for sure. Ain't no use crying. Just get in there and pitch. Sometimes you need help. That's when you kind of look up, you know. That's
Sometimes I'm up. Sometimes I'm down.
Don't hear me.
Oh, yes, my Lord.
Sometimes I'm almost to the ground.
Don't hear me. Yes, my Lord.
Praise God.
Although you see me going long, so
don't hear me.
Oh, yes, my Lord.
Yes, I have my trials here down.
Way below.
Everybody's always singing the blues about
his own troubles. The thing to do is to get with the big boss. That's right. Look up sometimes.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, and I ain't gonna bug nobody about it either. I know where I can get help when I need it.
Yes, sir. Every time.
Maybe you'd better try it.
Go down.
strangest land.
Let my people go.
Oppressed so hard they could not stand.
Let my people go.
So the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way down.
Down
in Egypt land. Tell old Pharaohs to let my people go.
Let my people go.
So Moses went to Egypt land.
Let my people go.
He made old Pharaoh understand.
Let my people go.
Yes, the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way down.
Down.
Egypt land. Tell Pharaohs to let my people go.
Let my people go.
Thus spoke the Lord, bold Moses said,
let my people go.
If not, I'll smite your firstborn dead.
Let my people go.
'Cause the Lord said, go down.
Go down.
Moses.
Moses.
Way
down.
Down in Egypt land. Tell